With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tiempo! Arsenal 2, Tottenham Hotspur now. Schwarz. It's in! Quite amazing! Here's Limpar, lines it up, finds the net. Arsenal in front.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast with me, Dan Roebuck. On today's show, we'll be remembering some of our Scandinavian superstars. Freddie Ljungberg tosses through some of his favourite goals from his Gunners career. Stefan Schwarz reminisces about his year at Highbury. But let's kick off with an Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm pleased to say that John Cross of the Daily Mirror joins me to talk about the Scandinavian influence, more like the Swedish influence when it comes to Arsenal over the years. John, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
First of all, when it comes to Sweden, you think about players, I guess, that are maybe more suited to English football because of their physicality. But some of the players that Arsenal have had haven't really been like that, have they?
No, they haven't. And it's a really interesting point, isn't it? Because I think England has always been a very attractive place, I guess, for Scandinavian players to come. But Arsenal, I think, as a football club, has been one that's really attracted a huge amount of Scandinavian fans. I think even sort of kind of, I'm thinking back pre-80s when kind of it was maybe easier to travel and come and support your team, as a lot of Scandinavian fans do, as well as obviously watch it on the TV. But I think you're right, it's kind of English football, the way it's sort of set up is very, I think, sort of suits those players. Anders Limpar, I'm immediately thinking what an impact he made. And yet he came at a time when, let's be honest, was his name really big in here, coming from Italian football, obviously, as he did. He was playing there at the time. It wasn't really. So he was kind of, you know, a bit of a surprise almost to English football. Certainly a wonderful surprise for Arsenal fans. And then later, you know, Freddie Ljungberg as well. So to me, those two Swedes really sort of kind of dominate when I think of Scandinavian players, I guess.
What do you remember about Anders Limpar? He was part of the title-winning side, wasn't he, in 1991? Came in 1990, spent 4 years with the club. What do you remember about him?
Well, it was interesting that basically, you know, I was sort of kind of going home and away sort of every game that stage. And it was, I guess, 89 was fantastic. And it was difficult then to replicate in 89-90. And I think what George Graham did very cleverly was just added a little bit of stardust, if you like, in 1990. And I think what people don't sort of, what they overlook in 1990-91 is they always characterise George Graham teams as being rather defensive, rather kind of workmanlike. And yet Anders was actually sensational. He gave Arsenal a wonderful, attractive attacking style. He was exciting to watch. I mean, I think he drove George mad at times a little bit because he obviously, you know, perhaps defending wasn't the stronger point of his game. He would really attack the fullback and he was incredibly exciting to watch. And he made that particular Arsenal team, let's not forget, they're only one game away from being the Invincibles, something really exciting that they were really good to watch.
Did he give Arsenal a bit more balance, do you think?
Probably did. I mean, I think that George would argue that basically probably didn't give enough protection, but he in a 4-4-2, and it was pretty much a 4-4-2 at that stage, then Anders certainly gave him great width.
He went on to play for Everton and win an FA Cup with him. Should we have kept him for a little bit longer?
Well, it was always the George thing, to be honest. I always felt I could always, you know, it was always George's frustration that basically Anders wouldn't track back, wouldn't do a bit more work defensively. So I think Arsenal fans, you know, should remember him fondly, as I'm sure they do, but George just basically wanted a little bit more work rate from his wingers.
which leads us on to Stefan Schwartz, different type of player,
yep.
Maybe more in the George Graham mould, but only lasted one season, but a good season, and obviously fell short in the Cup Winners' Cup final, but he was here for that 94-95 campaign.
Yeah, he was a really good buy. He was part of the Swedish World Cup team, yep. And then he looked a really top-quality player. And for whatever reason, it was, you know, a difficult perhaps season, perhaps for Arsenal. It didn't really work out for him, I wouldn't have said. He didn't really realise his full potential here. But you look at him technically, really good.
One player that did fulfil his potential was Freddie Ljungberg, no doubt about that. I mean, people talk about the Arsene Wenger signings, and you talk about Henri, of course, obviously, and Patrick Vieira. Freddie never goes under the radar, but boy, what a player he was.
Well, I think he maybe goes under the radar when you talk about the business involved, because he was an absolute snip, wasn't he? And he was an incredibly cheap deal, bearing in mind he then went on to become one of the most prolific front-running midfield players in the Premier League era. Absolutely fabulous. I mean, I look back upon the, what was it, 2002 season, yeah, in particular, when he scored that run of goals, when Arsenal just needed to kind of, as all title-winning teams do, the running's so important, and you get back-to-back wins in the runnings. We always look into Freddie Ljungberg as the winning goal hero, and that his ability to time his run to perfection into the box to finish off a move was outstanding, but a really good character as well. It's great to see him back at the club because I think he's got much to offer.
Will he go down as one of the best value signings then, do you think, from the Arsenal Wenger?
Yeah, what was it? I think just over two, wasn't it? And I think that's incredible. I think that's an incredible bit of business. And, I think when he first arrived, it maybe took a little while to settle and find his right position. And maybe sort of kind of, you know, was he good enough? Sort of kind of technically, could he join up the play? All those things came, though, together at his time here, and he absolutely goes down as an Arsenal legend.
I'm going to dial it back a few years previously to John Jensen, because he eventually became a cult figure, mainly because of the only goal that he scored. But people forget the quality he had and what he did for Denmark when he came to the club, and it was another dip into that Scandinavian market for Arsenal.
Yeah, it was, really. I've probably got that T-shirt. I was there when John Jensen scored. But it felt like, you know, he actually made quite a decent start. He basically was that kind of, you know, box-to-box sort of kind of powerful midfielder. And he was much more defensive than going forward. And maybe that kind of winning, that incredible goal that he scored for Denmark in Euro 92 made us think he was some sort of different player. But he did a decent job. He was always a willing character. Good character, I think, actually, in the dressing room. Bit of a character as well, by the way. And so, you know, always a bit of fun.
Did he fit the George Graham era a little bit better maybe than the others?
Well, I think what happened was, if my memory serves me right, is that basically Arsenal finished with a flourish the previous season, 91-92, scoring absolute goals for fun. But if there was one criticism or one fear, maybe, that Arsenal were going to be a little bit open, and so they had fantastic forward players, and George Graham wanted to balance it up with one more defensive midfield player, cue John Jensen. And the balance didn't quite work, for whatever reason. So, you know, it was a difficult time as well, because I think we were just saying goodbye to sort of another legend like David Rowcastle, for example. And so I just think it was big shoes to fill.
Some real influence from Scandinavia and Arsenal over the most recent sort of generation. Certainly one or two players that didn't quite make it that maybe should have, the likes of Seb Larsson, likes of Nicholas Bentner as well. I mean, they both got on to have good careers, but, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't quite work out for Arsenal, but no doubt talented players.
Yeah, I was also thinking Siggy Jonsson on the plastic pitch at Oldham.
Absolutely.
Right. And
you know,
so it's kind of,
sort of manner,
you
of
know, and it was a bit bizarre. When Seb Larsson, brilliant free kick specialist, absolutely fantastic. And so, you know, for that, Nicholas Bentner, all the talent in the world, but what, you know, bit of a character, bit of an ego to go with it. So it wasn't always, I didn't feel completely focused. But I think in a different time, if he had his time again, I do think he had so much ability, and he wasn't just a sort of a centre forward. And I think, given the right time, the right conditions and circumstances, I think he could have done more.
And just finally, you mentioned right at the top of the interview, you know, we didn't really know the players when they came, even if they came from Italy, like Anders Limpar. Swedish players were a bit of a mystery, a bit of a question mark. It's different now, of course. Is it still a rich pool for Arsenal maybe to go back to, do you think? Is there players coming through Sweden and Denmark and those sort of places? We've seen Iceland, of course, do well in the European Championship as well. Can you see more players coming from the area?
Well, I think traditionally it's always served well. And so I do think as soon as a player looks really, really good, then I think there's a clutch of Premier League clubs will go and have a look. And I still think that Arsenal would be right at the front of that queue simply because they, you know, have this wonderful tradition with. And I think, you know, I still think Scandinavia looks upon Arsenal as a huge draw. And I do think there are decent players, you know, sort of good players coming through. You can see that from the major international tournaments.
John, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Pleasure.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stephen Schwartz spent a single but memorable season at Highbury. Here's his memories of the 1994-95 campaign.
Arsenal was a privilege and honour to get the interest for Arsenal, but to sign it, to sign the contract for Arsenal, I was really looking forward to it. One of the best teams and clubs in the world, with all the tradition, that well-respected club. So I was really looking forward to it, and it was really great to sign. In between was the World Cup with the Sweden 94, which was very exciting for us as well. We went to became the third best team country in the world, so it was very exciting.
So what did you think of the Arsenal squad, the players that you ended up playing with?
Oh, amazing. I mean, if you look at the squad, Ian Wright, Alan Smith, David Seaman, Nigel Winterburn, Lee Dixon, Tony Adams, Martin Kearnsley, Paul Davis, all of them, Paul Merson. I haven't mentioned all of them, but I learned a lot. I came to Arsenal as a quite young player. I was 24 years old. And I came from Benfica, where we played very tiki-taka. We had to play very nicely. We had to have it as an entertainment as well, to show the supporters of a great club as Benfica. And of course, I learned a lot, because the game plan of Josh Graham and Arsenal at that time was a little bit more direct football. I wasn't that much involved in the central midfield that I was in Arsenal, but I learned a lot from my colleagues and with that experience I had from the Premier League.
And what was it like to play at Highbury? What did you think of that stadium?
Beautiful. It's unique. First of all, when you enter in the hall with this, all the marble and the statue and the tradition, you can feel it. You can feel it in the walls. You can feel it in the dressing room. That is a team that plays for trophies. You have a lot of dedication. You have a lot of respect for the supporters, and you feel it straight away. And of course, when you came into a dressing room like my colleagues, then you know that that is real serious business, and enjoy that kind of pressure.
When you think about other moments or stories, are there any great moments that you love telling, say at a dinner party, about your time at Arsenal? Any moments like that?
I think the goal that took us to the extra time and or to the penalties as well, against Sampdoria, semi-final and the Cup Winners' Cup, against a Sampdoria that was a world-class team, with Mancini, Jugovic, Milovic, Senga, Lombardo, etc., Vialli. Was a very strong side, and we managed, after a tight game, and of course with David Seaman's saves as well, that helped us. But I thought that we were the better team and we deserved to go to the Cup Winners' Cup final. It was very little time left of the game. It was a free kick. maybe 25, 30 yards away, which I feel comfortable. So I thought I had to go to take advantage of it. Maybe not one of my best free kicks, but the most important thing was it went into the goal and took us further to the final.
Obviously, with George moving on that season, and then Bruce Rioch came in soon after, and you moved on as well. How did your next move in football happen and you leave Arsenal?
So I felt a little bit unsettled at Arsenal at that time. Even I think I played as one of the players that played the most games during that season. I hope the supporters were happy with me. I wanted to make them happy. But as a young man, sometimes you wanted to try to change something that you can't change sometimes. And I was ready. I was ready for Fiorentina as well to try to give it a go. But I can say that year is a big, big time in my heart. Means a lot to me. I'm very honored to have been playing for Arsenal, been in the Arsenal's books and history. And now I'm a big Arsenal supporter and I want the best for Arsenal forever.
Freddie Ljungberg is an invincible and the current head coach of our under-23 team. He sat down to talk to us about a few of the 72 goals he scored for Arsenal.
Overmars coming more across the pitch. He's found Parler. Overmars again. Oh, Hughes! I don't know whether he's looking for Ljungberg, but he's found it. What a way to start an Arsenal career. Frederik Ljungberg on as a substitute for his debut in the English game, and he scores against Manchester United.
Very, very special day. I think I've been in London for 5 days or so and play a big game against Man United and be able then to chip Schmeichel and... like that was obviously a special, special day for me and my family. I never get nervous, but that day I was shaking like a leaf before I went on. I think the fans started to sing my name after 50 minutes of the game, so it made me very, very nervous.
Tell us about the finish itself. I mean, it's not an easy one. You didn't have much time to react to it. And when you're coming up against someone like Schmeichel who makes himself very big as a goalkeeper, tell us about your thought processes, if you can remember it.
No, I think when you've been playing football for a long time, it's just intuition. It's just you see what you see. You try to look at the goalkeeper before you get there. And that was the picture I saw. That was the easiest thing was to get it over him. And maybe that surprised him because, like you said, he's quite big and maybe didn't think I would go for that. We won the game, I think, 3-1. That was the main thing. I came to Arsenal because I wanted to win things, and that was a great moment for me, of course, personally, but as well for us as a club to beat Man United 3-1 and show who's the best was a lovely feeling.
It's a mistake by Gary Neville. Pires. Freddie Ljungberg, who specialises in goals against Manchester United, and here's the latest offering.
I think Neville makes a mistake and get the ball here, and Barthez is way too far out, so I chip it in, and that's probably one of my, that I feel is one of my nicest goals, because that's quite difficult to do from there. And I felt it was important for the team and for the club, so it was a great, great goal and a great moment.
Again, is that just instinctive to go for the chip? It doesn't look like the obvious move to take.
Yeah, for me, most of the things I did was on instinct. You see the picture, you see it, and you execute something you think could work. And quite often, I think a chip is works quite well because, like you said, the goalkeeper maybe doesn't think you will chip it from outside the box and it's on his way out. And like this time, it worked quite well. Personally, you need to show up in the big games. It makes me more happy to say that it's against Man United like than against, sorry to say, a much smaller team or so. If we want to win things and we want to be... sorts of big players, what we want to be, it's against your main rivals that you need to show up and play well. So, of course, that's, if I could help my team and do that, that's something that's nice, but we did it as a team.
Edu. Arsenal know what can happen if you don't get a second goal. Remember last year, Ljungberg, he's got the better of Terry. Freddie Ljungberg! Arsenal have produced two absolute stunners.
Yeah, no, play well. Chelsea had a good team, and yeah, and I felt strong, and I think that's John Terry, and felt strong in my legs, and then that's just how I like to shoot. I like to curl the ball, and the ball went in. I think personally, when I the highlight of that is Lee Dixon's run behind the goal before the ball goes into the net, and yeah, we didn't win the game, which was very important. I think we played then Man United 3 days later at Old Trafford, but there we go. That's Dixon going off. It was a great day, and it was in the old days when I had red hair, and a lot of fans had red hair, so that was as well quite special.
Henri, Ljungberg looking for the hat trick, and getting it. Freddie Ljungberg, a third for him, a fourth for Arsenal.
We talked about this often, like if the striker goes wide, then we should go in the pocket exactly like that. And always nice to score goals, and the things that you talk about, that the strikers should widen their centre-backs and then be able to go in that pocket and score. It's something from the training ground. Little dummy to the defender, and then I can roll it in the corner. And we won the game, and of course it's always nice to do hat-tricks and stuff, but when you're leading with a few goals in the end, it's we have won the game. But I think that little thing there is probably what I'm mostly satisfied about in those three goals.
He's done it this time!
What an extraordinary way to win the title.
When an irresistible force meets an old immovable object, something's got to give.
Roebuck versus.
Yes, it is that time again. It is Roebuck versus me, Dan Roebuck, against Chris Harris, Esquire, editor of Arsenal.com. What is your full title, Chris, these
managing
days?
Editor for digital.
Managing editor.
So you
editor.
Had Andy Exley in here recently, managing editor for publications.
Okay.
I cover the digital side.
Okay, and Liam obviously is here, the quizmaster. Liam?
Yeah, no pressure, but Andy did actually beat Dan, so...
Well, yeah, and I've heard Dan talk up his record in this slot, but actually he got an absolute whooping from Nigel Mitchell a few weeks back.
Yes, I did, so, yeah, no, that's true. That's,
luckily, that you're true. Back to winning ways today, I
yeah,
guarantee that.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Liam, what's the quiz this week?
Well, we're talking about Scandinavian players
yeah.
this week on the podcast.
Yeah.
Arsenal have had 19 Scandinavian players in our history.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth. We're going to do bids. So first person bids how many of those 19 they think they can get.
Yeah.
Then opponent.
That's a lot, isn't it?
You can either
19.
Bid.
19. It's astonishing.
You can either bid something higher or you can let your opponent
I understand.
Actually do it.
Are these players who have played first team football?
I believe so.
Oh, we'll find out.
They've been on the books.
They've been on the books.
That's the line. They've
okay.
been on the books.
And just remind us of the countries again. I'm just trying to eke this out, this section
yeah.
of the podcast
You're
out.
Trying to think,
because,
aren't you now?
Because I don't think it's going to last very long. Go on.
Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Faroe Islands, and then the Åland Islands. Oh, we haven't had anyone from the Åland
okay.
Islands.
Okay. Well, that helps us. I can knock out all those island players on. Yeah.
So we've got
okay.
19 players.
19.
Who wants to open the bidding?
That's the host, Dan. I think it should be
okay,
you.
Okay, I will open the bidding at one.
Okay, I will see your one and raise you six.
Six? So you can name six Scandinavian Arsenal footballers?
I think I can, yes.
Because if I go to... Okay, go on, name six.
Really?
Okay.
He's confident.
Let's go with the Swedes. Limpar.
Correct.
Schwartz. Ramy Shaban.
Ah!
Yep.
Freddie Ljungberg.
Yep.
Siggy Jonsson from Iceland, I believe.
Siggy Jonsson?
Correct.
Is he there?
And
there.
Just for a slightly left field one, I'm going to give you Skullason.
Yes, from the Faroe Islands.
Yeah. Well, I'm not
Correct.
Sure played for the first team, but
I think
he was on
the bench, I think, for Cesc Fabregas' debut.
I've turned you over there, haven't I?
Yeah, you've
Six.
Absolutely
it's
done
the
me there.
It's the quickest Roebuck versus ever.
Yeah, it's the quickest defeat. And the heaviest defeat.
How many more can you get, do you reckon? Just out of curiosity between the pair of you.
The Swedes I could get, I completely forgot about Ramy Shaban. John Jensen's obviously one that, and Skullison was one that I had up my sleeve, but I tell you, I'm struggling after that.
We had a few
seven
young players,
I was really struggling.
Of, Seb Svard,
yeah,
maybe didn't play first team, maybe one or two appearances.
Yeah,
we got
he was a midfielder. But yeah,
some famous ones.
I would have dried up a little bit after that.
Go on, which ones have we missed?
Nicholas Bentner.
Oh, Nicholas Bentner, of
How
course.
About Seb Larson?
Seb Larson.
How about Kim Kallstrom?
Yeah, well, I didn't need these, so I just didn't say
don't
them.
Don't care, do you? loads more about Glenn Kamara.
I wouldn't have got Glenn Kamara, who is Finnish.
He was indeed.
Yeah, you are finished.
It was not an easy game.
You're at Arsenal Football Club, it's going to be big pressure.
Take the positives and, you know, look at the next game.
I think we showed great determination.
At the end of the day, we're able to get a result.
Get behind each other and stick together.
In the end, it's something that's going to give you points.
The final word.
The final word this week belongs to Anders Limpar, taking us through that lob against Liverpool in 1992.
I have to tell you that it looks so much harder to do than it is. That's a pretty normal shot for every player to just hit a ball 40 yards. The harder thing is to ship a goalkeeper from that distance straight into the net. That's hard. But that's almost like you cross someone from the right wing to the left wing. We're talking about 40, 50 yards. All the players in the Premier League can do that nowadays. But when you ship a goalkeeper like that, it looks tremendous, obviously. And the actual play was that Kevin Campbell, he was running offside, so I couldn't put him in. And I just looked up, and I think it was Mike Hooper at that time in the Liverpool goal. He was on the penalty spot, so I just had to go. And even now, if I'm 50, I can shoot that into the net. It's not that hard. And I don't want me to be rude. It's a pretty good, like, easy shot to do. It looks good.
Well, that's full time on today's pod. Thanks to all of our contributors. You can help us out by subscribing to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And while you're there, why not leave us a review and 5-star rating? On the next episode, we'll be gearing up for the North London Derby.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.